And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is Dr. Mandy Mathewson, who is a lecturer in psychology at the University of Tasmania and a researcher in the area of parental alienation. Dr. Mathewson's research aligns with the university's research theme of better health. Her areas of research include the impact of parental alienation on children's psychosocial development. And regular listeners to this program will know that we take a particular interest in the topic of parental alienation. It is sometimes called parental alienation syndrome, and then when it is called a syndrome, it ties up a lot of psychologists arguing as to what constitutes a syndrome rather than considering what is involved in parental alienation. We are very fortunate today that we have an expert in the field, someone who backs up the commentary on parental alienation with well-grounded research. Mandy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Mandy, you have a number of research projects underway at the university, and one of these is the targeted parent experience of parental alienation. I wonder, could you describe for us a typical targeted parent?
So basically their experience is that the loving relationship that they have with their child or their children has been damaged. Normally what you'll see is that they have experienced a number of difficulties, normally at the hand of the alienating parent or the other parent. This can happen typically after separation or divorce, but it can also occur in intact families. Targeted parents, from our research, seems to be equally mothers and fathers, and they can experience a number of difficulties. They may experience at the extreme end complete eradication of the relationship with their child, so they have no contact with the child. They may have been the subject of false allegations of abuse. And at worst, the extreme end is their child may have been abducted by the other parent.
And do these targeted parents have any personality characteristics in common? Are they typically peacekeepers?
From our research, there doesn't appear to be any particular personality characteristics. Targeted parents seem to be otherwise well-adjusted, good loving parents. They do tend to be, some research indicates that they might be high on scores of empathy, so they can be quite empathic, caring people. They've just had the unfortunate experience of meeting another person who has difficult personality characteristics, that is then the alienating parent.
What are the typical behaviours of a child that's been affected by parental alienation?
During the alienation process, they can go from being a happy, healthy, well-adjusted child to a child who can then express a very negative view of the targeted parent. They can start to behave in a number of problematic ways. So they can display defiance, particularly when they are in the care of the targeted parent. They can be subjected to some emotional manipulation by the alienating parent. And so they can take on a role that can be, or a process that's called adultification. So they start to behave in ways that you might expect of an adult in response to the alienating parent. And basically what you can see, or what I've seen in my practice as a clinical psychologist working with alienated children, is that they start to present in a quite robotic fashion. And so it's almost like they don't have the life or animation in them, and they can become quite robotic, and they can present in a way that, I guess, they give very rehearsed answers to the questions that they might be asked.
And this parental alienation that we've been talking about, it's not something peculiar to Australia, is it? I guess it's found in other parts of the world?
Absolutely. It seems to be all around the world. So our research so far, we have interviewed and collected information from targeted parents right round the world.
And people will often say, oh, well, it's just that that parent deserves to be estranged or moved away. I mean, We're not talking about where a child, where a parent is abusive to the child, are we, in this situation?
No, it's really important to distinguish parental alienation from estrangement. So estrangement is when a parent acts protectively to protect a child from an abusive parent. And so then you see a situation where a parent doesn't have a relationship with their child because of very good reasons. In the case of parental alienation, there isn't that history, although there is certainly, you can find unsubstantiated allegations of abuse. It can be difficult to distinguish the difference between parental alienation and estrangement when there are allegations of abuse. But I guess the two key indicators are with parental alienation, the abuse allegations are unsubstantiated, and also the timing of the abuse allegations can be quite different. So with parental alienation, the abuse allegations tend to occur in response to certain situations or events that can occur through the family court. So, for example, when court proceedings may not be going in favour of the alienating parent, then suddenly abuse allegations can be made.
And that should, as we might say, draw the crabs, that that's when we need to focus on what's actually going on.
Exactly.
Now, as part of your research, you've done a survey on parental alienation as a form of family violence. Well, domestic violence is very much in the news at the moment. Do you see parental alienation as a form of child abuse?
Yes, I do. I think that the children certainly do experience psychological abuse at the hands of the alienating parent. So certainly when you look at some of the parental alienation tactics that alienating parents can use, such as emotional manipulation, and they can withdraw love and affection from the child when the child expresses any indication that they want a relationship with a targeted parent, for example. So certainly there's that emotional abuse, and at times there can be physical abuse in these families.
And when this does happen, what do you see as the negative outcomes for children?
There are a number of negative outcomes. So certainly research indicates that these children can go on to have insecure attachments with other people in their lives. They can experience a number of psychological difficulties, so anxiety, depression, adjustment problems. They can experience symptoms of post-traumatic stress. They can go on to have a high incidence of drug and alcohol problems. Mostly what you see as these children grow up into adulthood is that they really haven't formed a strong sense of self and identity.
Yeah, so look, this is really serious stuff, and it is widespread throughout Australia and through other countries, as we've discussed. We're going to take a short break now and play a song which came from the 60s. I'm not sure if we should be optimistic or what, but let's just hope that this is the message for the research being done by our guest today, Dr. Mandy Mathewson, and others around the world. This is a song written by Bob Dylan and sung by Peter, Paul and Mary.
Better.
And that was The Times They Are A-Changing by Bob Dylan, and it was sung by Peter, Paul and Mary. And our guest today is Dr. Mandy Mathewson, who's a lecturer in psychology at the University of Tasmania and a researcher in the area of parental alienation. So, Mandy, we were just talking about the negative outcomes for children. We've been aware of this for quite some time, and in fact, you quote Dr. Richard Gardner very frequently in your work. He's an American psychologist who coined the term parental alienation. There have been some moves in various places to discredit him. How do you regard the legacy of Dr. Gardner?
His work has been very influential in the field. He certainly coined the term parental alienation and parental alienation as a syndrome. I think my view is that parental alienation probably isn't a syndrome in the way that he described it. I think parental alienation is more of a process that affects a number of people, so the alienating parent, targeted parent, and the targeted child or children. And I think it's a little bit more complex than the parental alienation syndrome that Gardner described.
Because there has been a reluctance in the courts and even among practitioners to accept that parental alienation even exists, isn't there?
Certainly. I think partly that can be because parental alienation as a syndrome has been quite controversial, and I think further research evidence needs to be there to demonstrate that parental alienation does exist. There is certainly research that does say, yes, indeed, it exists, and yes, it has some serious consequences, but I think more work needs to be done to demonstrate that what parental alienation is and what the consequences are.
The Bible for the American psychologist is the DSM, and I think we've recently had the DSM-5, and we still haven't seen parental alienation described in the DSM. Is that something you think we should be aiming at, or is that not going to affect the development of the study of parental alienation?
My view is that making parental alienation one single diagnosis probably doesn't adequately reflect the complexity of the problem. I think the problem is a systemic one in the sense that it happens within a family system. And so you can't necessarily diagnose one member of the family with a disorder. I think it's a combination of behaviours and disorders in each of the people who are involved in the parental alienation that need to be considered. So, for example, in the work that I do with targeted parents, you might see parents meeting diagnostic criteria for adjustment disorder or even post-traumatic stress disorder. For the alienating parents, they typically meet diagnostic criteria for different personality disorders, and certainly for the child, they might meet diagnostic criteria for a number of disorders as well. But then you have to look at the behaviours that occur within the family system. So it's really quite complex and probably more complicated than a single diagnosis in the DSM might allow for.
Yes, because I think a number of the separate components of parental alienation are in fact in the DSM. It's just that they're not all grouped together and saying, well, this constitutes parental alienation. Is that what people have aimed at as far as the DSM?
Yes, that's correct. I think what you find is that there's no one thing, whether it be in the DSM or written elsewhere, that says if you see these cluster of diagnoses or difficulties, then what you're looking at is parental alienation. So one of the studies that we're doing here at UTAS is we're trying to collect all of the cluster of diagnoses and problems and come up with a definition of, if you're looking at this, then you need to consider parental alienation.
None of the studies recommend what's sometimes said to parents in the best of intentions, I'll just leave it alone and, you know, in a year or two things will settle down and everything will be okay. That doesn't seem to be supported in your research.
No. So we recently completed a study. It was a systematic literature review looking at what is the evidence for the best interventions for parental alienation, and we found that leaving the child in the care of the alienating parent is quite damaging, because effectively what you're doing is leaving the child in an abusive situation. The evidence suggests that it's best to transfer custody in favour of the targeted parent, So once it's been established that it is parental alienation, that it's not a situation of estrangement, then transfer in custody to the targeted parent or primary care to the targeted parent is preferable. And even though the child might experience some transient distress in that changeover of custody, it isn't harmful to the child. In fact, it's more harmful if you leave the child in the care of the alienating parent. And then the best response doesn't just involve change of custody, then a specific form of family therapy needs to occur. So there needs to be therapy that helps to rebuild the relationship between the targeted parent and child. And if the targeted parent still has some contact with the alienating parent, and if there is visitation with an alienating parent, some therapy to address their co-parenting relationship might be necessary as well. In extreme cases of parental alienation, then changing custody completely to the targeted parent is probably preferable, particularly if there's a high level of damage or abuse if the targeted child continues to have a relationship with the alienating parent.
Yes, you just mentioned the extreme cases. Are there, in fact, sort of levels of parental alienation? So, you know, you might expect in a typical situation it might be fairly normal for one parent to turn the child against the other parent who's hurt and damaged them in the breakup of the relationship. But is parental alienation an all or nothing thing, or can you have those degrees?
I think you can have degrees. Put simply, you could have mild, moderate to severe parental alienation. Mild, you typically see mild parental alienation in the early stages of the process, and if you intervene at that stage, then the outcomes can be better. But once parental alienation is left unaddressed, it can then move to extreme parental alienation, where the relationship between the targeted parent and child has been completely eradicated. So sometimes it's not just a matter of degree, but a matter of time. The longer you leave it, the more severe it becomes.
When you talked about intervention, I don't think you recommend the traditional family therapy. It needs something more. It's not just a matter of prescribing family therapy to any particular psychologist. It might require a particular type of therapy.
Yes, so the evidence suggests that traditional forms of systemic family therapy can do more harm than good. It needs to be a specialised form of family therapy. So traditional systemic family therapy would normally view the client in therapy as the whole family system, and typically you would see the members of the family together. Family therapy for parental alienation requires a slightly different approach, where you might have to segment the family members and see them not together. So you might see the alienating parent on their own and do some work with them, the targeted parent on their own and do some work with them, the child on their own and do work with them, and then bring each of the family members together as the therapy progresses. So it involves, I guess, a multidimensional approach and a variety of different therapeutic techniques combined together to help the family and address the parental alienation.
Now, I guess the alienating parent is going to say, oh, but I'm doing this because it's the love I have for my child and I'm worried about my child with the other parent. They might quite genuinely believe this. How do you convince that alienating parent that something is wrong and that therapy is needed?
That can be quite a challenge, because they will come to therapy with probably a different motivation and readiness to address things than the targeted parent. It is a process of building therapeutic rapport with each family member. You might need to spend a little bit more time with the alienating parent to build that trust. And once you've built that trust, then you can start a process of starting to challenge any of their cognitive distortions that they might have about the family, the targeted parent. It's also a slow process, sometimes a slow process, of educating the alienating parent about what is in the best interest of the child. And it's really a process of chipping away, I guess, through education and challenging in an empathic and sensitive way.
And you have to have that stick in the background of a court order, I guess, in the difficult cases.
You absolutely do. In the absence of that, then you're probably unlikely to see the alienating parent, and they're probably unlikely to bring the child along to therapy. So you do need that court order. So there is at least a perception of a consequence if they don't participate and make some changes.
And we're speaking with Dr. Mandy Mathewson. Mandy, all that you're saying sounds eminently sensible, and I value the fact that it's all backed by research, but how are we going to get the word out to the other members of the profession and the community in general about parental alienation and the damage and risk that it presents to the community?
That is a very good question. I think there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes to try and get the message out there. I think more research and more media attention, and I think more professional development for the professionals who encounter these families will hopefully make a difference. There are lots of arguments about whether there needs to be changes to the current family law legislation and the way the family court handles these matters. That's probably beyond the scope of what I can comment on, but I think more awareness, more research and professional development, I think, will assist.
Well, if there's going to be a seminar on this topic, we'd love to have, and I have anything to do it, I'd love to have you as a presenter at the seminar. Well, look, we've reached the stage of the program where we ask our guests to, if they'd like to pick a song. Would you like to tell us if you've picked a song and why you picked it?
Mm-hmm. So I've picked Reflections of the Way Life Used to Be by The Supremes. I think if you listen to the words, it certainly sounds a little bit like the experience of targeted parents. It certainly sounds a little bit like some of the stories that we've been hearing through our research interviewing targeted parents.
So here we go, Reflections by Diana Ross and The Supremes.
Through the mirror of my mind, time after time, I see reflections of you and me. Reflections of the way life used to be. Reflections of these tears that I'm crying reflects the hurt I can't control. Cause although you know I keep holding on to the happy times when you were mine. As I peer through the window of lost time, looking over my yesterday and all the love I gave, all is reflections of the way life used to be.
That was Reflections by Nina Ross and the Supremes. So it just remains for me now to thank our special guest today, Dr. Mandy Mathewson. Mandy, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
And don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. And if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.